The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Five counties, one station, it's Beat 102-103. Well, great excitement in my house and houses across the southeast last week as an Irish gladiator made their debut on the BBC hit show Gladiators. And not just an Irish gladiator, Cyclone is from right here in the southeast, Wexford in fact. In fact, Enniscorthy. And she is not playing around. Cyclone joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us all about her journey as a gladiator. But before we chat to her, let's hear how her debut on the show went for the Wexford gladiator, who stands at 5'10" tall and can squat a whopping 245 kilograms.
Nikki swings first. The Cyclone's just standing there. Now the wind is with her and she's starting to rain down blows on Nikki, who hits the mat. Well, we've never seen this game plan from a gladiator before, but it worked.
OK, so up against Cyclone. Bit of taunting going on there. More importantly, she just stood there and let you hit her about three times.
She should be called Psycho, not Cyclone, for right. Sure.
Yeah. Cyclone, pop down.
I'm staying right here.
Say what?
Bring on the next contender!
You want to stay up there?
Bring on the next contender, you heard me.
She's not coming down, that is the end of that.
Well, Cyclone absolutely wowed during that game duel on Gladiators the weekend before last. She was just amazing. Well, she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're so welcome, Cyclone. It's so good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you so much, Orla. It's great to be on a show that's like centered from where I'm from. So and very happy
I'm
to be here.
So intrigued as how you came from Enniscorthy to the Gladiator main stage. We'll have to talk about that a little bit later on, but let's talk about your debut last Saturday. And you were not playing when you came on first, weren't you not?
Not at all. I think as a new gladiator, definitely had to like show the guys like I'm, you know, I can hang with the rest of the gladiators. Definitely want to solidify myself as a new gladiator and someone that people remember. That was key.
And tell me, Cyclone, why Cyclone?
Very good question. So it was definitely a collaborative thing between us. I was very sure of what kind of gladiator I wanted to be. I wanted to be someone who was strong, very dominating, very straightforward talking, someone who was competitive and could back up what she was saying with her athletic abilities. Definitely that dark feminine energy as well, because I think the show needed it, like a dark feminine character, not a villain, because people are getting confused between those two things. But we'll get on to that. And the guys said, you know, look, Cyclone would work perfectly because if you get caught in a cyclone, you're not getting out, which is again what I emulate with my physical abilities. And yeah, just a force of nature. That's the main thing. Just a force of nature to be reckoned with, someone you don't want to go up against.
And a lot of the gladiators come from the world of athletics or the world of weightlifting. What world do you come from?
So I come from powerlifting specifically. So that's what I was doing before gladiators. I won junior world, so like the world championships in 2023, and I currently still hold the 84 plus record, world wow. record total in powerlifting. So,
and what's
again,
84 plus? What does that mean, 84 plus?
So basically, it's your weight class. So okay. In, you know, like in MMA, everyone has a specific weight class. You're only against people kind of your own weight category. So yeah, I was 84 plus. So I've always been like on the heavier side, again, a lot of muscle mass, which I think is cool because my character, again, just a force of nature, big, tall, strong, but still very athletic.
Oh, I think you're such an inspiration to see my little girl just say wow when you're up there, especially with Jewel, because you didn't usually with gladiators, one gladiator takes on one contestant and then another gladiator comes on and takes on the next. But no, you weren't doing that, were you?
No, again, had to make my mark, had to do something a bit different. So people kind of turn and say, wow, she's really here to like stir things up. She's here to like make a mark for herself and not just kind of blend in. Because as a new gladiator, it would probably be very easy to just like, you know, go behind all the rest of them, not want to make too much noise. But I was like, no, you guys will see me and I'll be someone you want to watch as well.
You were called very intimidating. How did you feel being called that?
Oh, I was gasped by it. I was like, that's great. That's exactly what I was going for. Again, as I said before, definitely wanted to portray that, you know, that dark feminine energy, taking up the space you're in, not being afraid to be looked at, not being afraid to be perceived. Because I think there's a stigma with that, with women just wanting to be as small as possible, not take too much space, not speak out of turn. But I definitely want to empower women, younger girls, to just go for what they want and do it unapologetically. So that was key. Yeah.
Definitely. And I think even on your first show, you definitely did that. And you weren't afraid to speak your mind and how strong you were as well. Let's go back to County Wexford. How did this journey begin for you that you are now a gladiator? How does this work?
I would say definitely it was my support system, my parents. Like, I owe it all to my parents. They've always been super supportive with whatever I was doing. Because when I was growing up, I was very much academic, and that's kind of what I wanted to pursue. And then I made the complete switch to like athletics, and I was like, okay, cool, I want to be the best athlete I can be in whatever sport I was in. And at the time when I was still living in Enniscorthy, that was like athletics, and that progressed to the gym and lifting weights, and then that progressed to powerlifting as I went to Dublin for college, and then that came with more opportunities, and yeah, just climbing the ranks. But like, what I always like to say is just following your passions will always lead you to somewhere where you need to be. Just always checking in with yourself. What do I really want to do? And doing it for yourself as well, because that's key. I think sometimes, you know, in school, the path is kind of laid out for you. They're like, you know, you need to go to primary school, secondary school, then you need to get a job, and then you need to get like a husband or a wife, and then you need to have children. And you can fall into that really easily. But I think just following your passions, what you love to do, regardless of what it is, and just following that. And I think that will lead you through 1000% every single time.
And then does gladiators come to you? Like, do you, because of the world that you work in and you train in, do you start to get to know people that are in that world? Is that how, or is it an audition? What happens?
So it's quite a long process, actually. So I was approached for it because I'm on social media and I post my fitness and my powerlifting, and they're constantly on the search for like people to fill in and new gladiators and seeing who has that kind of look, who has that mentality. And so I was called for it, and I actually didn't know of this show when I got the call for it, but it sounded class. Like she said, you know, it's a fitness-based show. The contenders come on and they're fighting the gladiators, and it's kind of this David Goliath kind of aspect, seeing if the average human can go against like one of the top performing athletes. And there's really cool games on it. I was like, that sounds like a bit of me. Sure, I'll do it. Again, it comes back to the whole thing about following your passions. And I knew that would be perfect for me because I love the panto. I love the athletic side of it. I love the costumes, the design. It was a bit up my street. And then I was invited to come for trials. I did that. Absolutely loved it. It was so fun getting to do something different to powerlifting, because with powerlifting, it's just kind of squat, bench and deadlift in the gym. But with the trials, it was like running, it was sprinting, it was tackling. And I was like, this is great fun. And then ended up getting it because they said I performed really well. I was really good on camera. And then from there on, I started to realize how like how much of a legacy this show had and how unreal it was. And because when I told like my closest friends, they were like, this is insane. And then even the love when I got introduced to everyone and meeting all the other gladiators, I was like, this is a big deal. Like, I was here just to tackle people. I was here just to, you know, to just have some fun. I was like, this is a nice change of pace. And then it's like, wow, this show has a whole legacy of the previous show beforehand. And I wasn't even born when the first show came out. So it's unreal. I feel like it's only dawning on me now, to be honest.
And like, we've seen a gladiator on Strictly recently. So the world is your oyster, really.
Yeah, that's Fire, one of my besties. Oh, love her so much. So much.
Do you have a favourite, what do we call them, sections of gladiators? We were saying you were so brilliant on Duel. Is there something that you love in particular?
Definitely. So we call them games.
Games.
Yeah, games. So my favorite, I'm very good at Duel, but my favorite is Powerball. Like, I love that game so, so much. I think people don't expect me to be good at it because they're like, okay, she's the strong one. So like, you know, she's going to be good at Duel and all the strength-based games. But I want people to know, again, I came to dominate all rounds, and I'm a well-rounded athlete. And that one's mostly about running, tackling, changing direction, being strategic. And it's so fast paced and it's so intense. It's kind of like a cat and mouse game. So I love that so, so much. And you get to play it with two other gladiators as well. So it's kind of like a team effort. But that's definitely my favorite game, Powerball.
Brilliant. Well, as you said, you are not here to warm up. You are here to dominate. Oh. And you really showed that on your very first show of the iconic gladiators back on Saturday nights at 5:50 p.m. BBC One. It's just so much fun and you look like you're enjoying it so much as well. I think people are always thinking, I could do that. But then when I saw someone, you just tip someone off in Joule, I was like, I definitely couldn't do that. So there's a lot of work involved. So fair play to you. It's so brilliant to see a County Wexford gladiator. That is Cyclone. And she's on BBC on Gladiators at 5:50 p.m. That is BBC One. Thanks a million, Cyclone.
Thank you so much for having me, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat 102-103 on this Sunday morning. You're listening to the first Sunday Grill of February. Brian, where's the time going?
On clocks. Clocks, I reckon.
Well, true that. Very quickly, I feel.
No.
You probably don't feel that.
No. I appreciate every second.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
For those of you that can't see, she just looked at me very disapprovingly when I said that.
That's the man who stays up until 2 or 3 in the morning watching stuff. Will we talk movies?
Yeah. What, yeah. I don't know, you just gave out to me for watching stuff. It's like, hey, thanks for watching that thing.
Let's talk Saturday Night. I'm a massive Saturday Night Live fan. And this is a movie that brings us back to October 11th, 1975, and the first broadcast of Saturday Night Live. As you know, it's an NBC show. It fills your social media. It's the only reason I'm a fan, because we don't get it here. Fills my social media anyway every Sunday morning with clips from Ariana Grande,
Timothy Chalamet,
all the greats. Who are the people who have been on more than 3 or 4 times? They talked about the
Five Timers Club.
Yeah, Five Timers.
Oh, it's like Paul Rudd, Scarlett Johansson, Tina Fey, Steve Martin.
Yeah, and the girl from Bridesmaids as well.
Kirsten Wiig.
Yes.
Well, she started on SNL.
Yeah,
so.
But then has come back to...
There's a load of them. Paul McCartney, like, he's done it a load of times. Yeah.
My favourite skits, if you want to look them up, are Timothy Chalamet and our favourite... Was that well pronounced?
No.
Nope. Timothy Chalamet.
Nope.
Timothy...
Oh, wait, Timothy Chalamet. Yeah. Second time was right. I just anticipated it would be wrong.
And our favourite person from The King of Staten Island, who I can never
Pete
think
Davidson.
Of. Pete Davidson being two rappers.
Skirt, skirt.
Oh,
never love me, Mom. There you go.
There's a rendition from our Brian. Anyway, do you want
Pete
to hear
Davidson.
A clip from Saturday Night Live that is bringing us right back to their anniversary, which they'll celebrate this October 2025. 50 years ago, it was their first broadcast. And the movie sounds a little bit like this.
My name is Lorne Michaels. I'm the producer and creator of Saturday Night. We're excited because there's never been a television show like this.
Okay, but what kind of show is it, Lorne? Do you even know what the show is?
Did anyone ask Edison what a light bulb was before he harnessed electricity?
Who are you in the metaphor?
Chevy Chase, Kilda Radner, Dan Ayik, how the do you pronounce this?
Aykroyd. These can't be the right size.
Yeah, you're right. They should be a little bit smaller.
And action on rehearsal. And now, weekend update.
Good evening. Gentlemen, how long have you been standing there?
Long enough.
They want you to fail. They're betting on it.
That's logical, Vic. That's why they're paying us all to be here.
NBC makes more money playing reruns of The Tonight Show. I mean, we're 90 minutes of live television by a group of 20-year-olds who have never made anything.
They go, I feel we're in this era where we're getting movies about the makings of things. It was the magazine a few years ago that's up on Netflix now. What's
yeah,
that called?
A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Yes, A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
The funny thing, that's a... phenomenal that you said that, because I love that movie. I love that movie so much, and this movie could actually fit into the middle of that movie.
And that you loved it that much?
No, because a load of the characters from National Lampoon ended up on SNL.
And that's one of the scenes in, tell me the name of the movie again.
A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
They go off to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, so this is the thing where like you could watch the first like maybe hour of that movie, then watch this movie, and then see from the other side, and it's like... And literally you could cut straight, like there's like...
Do you know what that's called?
The ending of Saturday Night cut straight to the rest of Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Is that what we would define as meta?
Probably not.
Okay.
It's probably just two things. It's like how you could just have a load of World War II movies at the same time.
Okay, this is called Saturday Night if you're looking for it in the cinema. The names, apart from William Dafoe, I don't recognise...
J.K. Simmons.
That's it. An awful lot of new names in this, and a huge cast as well, because back in the day there was a huge cast preparing for the first episode of Saturday Night Live. Take us back there, please.
Well, I'm not going to lie. This movie is pure stress. It's an hour and, what is it, an hour and 49 minutes of stress.
Okay.
And I love it. I love it so much. I love Now, this is weird. I love stressful situations.
Okay.
I love just being thrown into something and it's like everything is on you right now. And of all the weeks, crazy weeks, perfect time for this movie. But it's all about how the creativity comes through that and how they're literally constantly being put down by the establishment that's there.
Okay.
And the fact that they're all they have to do is get to air. That's like from the majority of the movie is they won't. They just there's no way
and
they can do this.
In a way, does the channel, i.e. NBC, not want them to do well? That's the kind of idea behind it, isn't
There's a whole thing at the minute that Johnny Carson, famous talk show host, obviously 50 years ago, he's the guy that introduced the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Big guy, do you know?
Yeah.
He was in a contract dispute at the minute. And basically, they wanted something to show that, oh yeah, we can put out new shows. But they wanted it to fail so that they could be like, we're going to show Carson reruns instead because it costs way less and it can generate way more money for them. Okay. But, what they did is they had a slot and basically Lorne Michaels put together a show of just these random comedians. Like Jim Henson's in there, the fellow that did the Muppets.
Okay.
Like all these different types of comedians like Chevy Chase, Gilda Radner, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Garrett Morris. Like there are all these different types,
and even if you don't,
Andy Kaufman,
and you would recognize these names, even if you don't know exactly who they are. You know, if you're of an age where you've never seen any of these people, you would know these names. They're so
100%,
iconic.
Yeah. So like, it's one of those things where then they had this show, they didn't know what it was, and they had to just put something together. And I love it because the way he's doing, like there's highs, there's absolute highs, and there is more lows. Like the majority of the movie is Lorne Michaels being under pressure and more and more and more under pressure.
And are we just on that run up and then done kind of, or you know, with the other movie, which for some reason its name escaped
a futile and stupid gesture,
we go on, we go to the demise, we, you know, it's kind of a whole biopic almost.
This is essentially the birth, like the, do you know the way you watch a superhero movie, it's like how the character became Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and at the end of Iron Man, he goes, I am Iron Man, and that's how it ends. It's like, he is now Iron Man, confirmed, movie done.
Yeah.
Saturday Night, I don't want to spoil the ending, but the fact that the show is on and still running, you know that the show happened.
Of course.
The movie ends with them starting the show.
Okay.
But you do get to see all the sketches that happened in the show, like the first episode, throughout the movie, which is kind of cool as well, because some of them, like the first scene, like the first sketch in particular is pretty iconic, but it's just so cool to see these different people and like how people like Billy Crystal was ready to do a few minutes on it and he got turned away.
Okay.
Like Billy Crystal, famous dude, like When Harry Met Sally, Monsters, Inc.
So a little bit like a complete unknown, a real ability to get stuck down a rabbit hole of 100%. These names. Yeah.
But the impressions are phenomenal. Like the casting was insane, do you know?
Okay.
Like the people that they're trying to be, you could be like if they just look slightly different, if you just AI'd the person's face from the time onto them slightly, you could be like, this is the people. They actually just had a camera there on the night.
Okay,
and that's exactly the way you want it to be.
Will we black pudding it?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So this is a me movie through and through.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, for me personally, I give it a 10.
Okay.
But I will say, I don't think it's the kind of movie that people will generally enjoy. It's not a movie where you can sit back and enjoy. It's a movie where you're eating through your popcorn and then you're eating through your fingernails. And like, you're, nothing's going to jump out at you, but it's just stress.
Okay.
And I enjoy that though.
Yeah, nearly 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7 out of 10 on IMDb.
It's a solid,
movie.
A smaller movie that like, none of this, like Cooper Hoffman's in it. Like I think he's generally, Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Oh, okay.
I think he's unbelievable. But,
great.
Gabrielle LaBelle got nominated for a Golden Globe for his performance of Lorne Michaels in it. Rachel Sennett, you probably know, like she's in Shiva Baby and Bottoms and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Like smaller movies,
okay,
but are all really good movies. Look, you know, so
let's
it's like
own it. Brian gives it 10 black puddings out of 10. It's called Saturday Night, and it is out now. You were away when we were talking last week, so we never got a chance to delve into the Oscar nominations for Best Picture. A lot of which that we've reviewed here, including A Complete Unknown, Conclave, The Substance, Anora. And Wicked in there too.
Yeah.
Have you seen the other ones, The Brutalist?
I haven't seen The Brutalist
Emilia
yet.
Perez, all of these
I have
ones.
Seen Emilia Perez. It's getting a lot of hate. Mm-hmm. I thought it was okay, but it was a movie that wasn't made for me. People don't like they say musical as well. People aren't big fan of the songs. They're not. I don't know if maybe it's the whole subject matter of it. It might be the issue as well because it focused a lot of like.
That's the one that Zoe Saldana is doing.
Yeah,
very well.
I'll be real. I thought it was a solid movie. I actually quite enjoyed it. I did come away thinking like this was good. This was a movie that wasn't made for me. Like they weren't like Brian's going to love this. Like Saturday Night was made, and they were like Brian's going to love this. Because that's how Hollywood works. They talk about if I will enjoy it or not.
Well, all the time. They sit in a big round table and they ask, will Brian Griffin like this? And they don't mean the cartoon character.
Yeah.
But a lot of Oscars movies aren't made for us. They're made for, you know, their creative narrative, etc.
Like, a lot of those movies nominated there are by small, well, not by smaller directors, but they're smaller movies that came out. Like, Anora had a load of hype behind it. I went to see it and I loved it. I thought it was so, I was in from the first moment until the last, till the credits. Like, I was... Like, I'd love if that one, because Sean Baker is a filmmaker that's been doing kind of weird things. This is where my kind of proper film nerd side comes out. It's like, he's made like movies, that, he was made the, like the first feature on an iPhone. Like, he'd made Tangerines like 2014.
Oh, okay.
And he was that guy that kind of did that. Like, and so to see a fella that's making these kind of indie movies get nominated for an Oscar and potentially might win it, but I don't know if he will. Okay. I feel like The Brutalist seems to be pretty favoured.
Yeah, totally.
But well, it's a very sad, depressing type movie. I don't think it's going to be a comedy.
So. March the 3rd, 2025 is when we will find out what wins the best film in the Oscars and all those other awards as well. It's the 97th, so we'll be having an anniversary soon.
No Irish
could
nominees.
Could we get a documentary out of that so we could go to LA?
I think so. Years. Can let's we get fund? We'll get some grant. We'll get a grant for something. And
let's do it.
Let's just go over and then you'll see if we'll get our flights reimbursed.
Well, true.
Yeah.
In the meantime, 10 black puddings out of 10 for Saturday night. Brian, thanks a million.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.